Well, today I want you to turn to Psalms 144. I am going to switch gears for a while here. Listen, I am so fed up, as you are, with this world. I don't want to hear another word about it. I'm just done. And so I thought, you know, I've done the hard things in this house. Maybe even ran a few people off. Because not everybody likes politics. And you can call it politics, but it's the word of God. When you start standing for what's right. But not everybody likes to stand for what's right. Well, we are always going to take a stand. We just are. We're going to. And we're going to stay according to the word. So you don't have to worry about us getting flaky. Because I love you guys. You love me. And we love each other. And we want the very best for each other, our marriages, our children, our world, and America. That's why we stand tall and stand strong. But I also want to tell you this morning. Every day, I will praise Him. How about you? Can you do that every single day? But what if it's not a good day? What if it's just a horrendous day where you don't know where to turn or what to do? What are you going to do? You're going to praise Him, church. That's all we know how to do, and I'm glad that's what we do. I know you. I've seen you go through fire. I've watched some of you going through stuff you're going through right now. And to people look at your face, and they see this pretty face with a smile on it, but they don't know what you're going through. Hi, Clara. Good to see you. And Natalie, good to see you too, sweetie. Where was I? Clara, see? But when you go through, you've already learned how to lift your hands and praise Him. You've already learned how to do that. So nobody can change your mind. Teddy, you're just acting like kind of a crazy woman right now. I mean, they've given you bad reports, and she just gets up, drives herself to church. Just goes ahead and gets up, comes on in, and here's Wanda Leach, 90-something, too. And she just gets up, gets herself to church. Now, little, what's her name? Joellen is over 92. She gets here every service, but she's in San Diego today, so she couldn't make it. She's having fun with family. But see, these are people that learned how to do this. It didn't matter what was going on. You see Sister Norma coming up here. She only has one leg, and she's in a wheelchair. That's where she gets around. But this is what she knows how to do anyway. Anyway, remember the old song? I will praise the Lord anyhow. I found out, or hallelujah anyhow. I think it was Jimmy Swaggart that sang it. Hallelujah anyhow. But here's the deal, Shannon. We praise the Lord when everything is good. And then when everything is bad, we praise Him anyhow. Amen? We just keep on. And it brings such wonderful things to our life. If nothing else, it brings the peace of God. So today, I just wanted to allow King David to speak to us. Now, David hadn't always been a king. And we've not always looked like you look right now. But better things are even coming. See, David was a little shepherd boy. He slept out in the fields with the sheep. He had a dad. He had a whole bunch of brothers. And they treated him like a little, you know, little guy. And so he was out there with the sheep. And so he was a shepherd, but he was also a bear killer. Because the bear came to get the sheep. And not only did he knock out the bear, but can you imagine taking a sheep out of a bear's mouth? He said, I just took the sheep right out of his mouth. And he was also a lion killer. I don't know which, well, I'd probably rather meet a bear than a lion, but rather meet neither of them. So here came the lion to get the sheep. He said, I broke his jaws. And I took the sheep out of his mouth, and he killed the lion. So this little shepherd boy was a lion killer, a bear killer. He was a warrior. He was always in wars. But he was also a giant killer, a giant slayer. You know, we could just talk about that all day and the next week about how he killed Goliath. But I just wanted a picture of who he was. So he had to go through all that. And he spent his life in caves hiding from Saul, who was the king. But this little boy had been anointed 3 times already, once in Bethlehem, once in Hebron, and then again in Jerusalem. He had been anointed to be king, and now here he is hiding from the king of Israel, this guy who was a substitute king. So I'm telling you, in this last hour, you and I were put on this earth in the 2000s. Whenever you came along, you were here on purpose for this hour. God needed us, all of us who are Christians on the earth right now, to do our part for him. So you've killed some lions, you've killed some bears, you've had to take your babies back from the hand of the enemy, you've prayed them out of that mess, you've done some giant slaying, you've done some things that nobody even knows that you did. And you only did that by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, amen? So David spent those times, if he wasn't in a cave as he grew up, then he was in a war. And he was a warrior. And that's why he could not build God a house, because he had blood on his hands from fighting wars all the time. But he finally gets in his place. And when I say finally, there is a time and there is a place that we come to that God says, this is it. This is what I brought you to. And David becomes the king of Israel. And I want to tell you, this Psalms 144, the whole chapter, and then after that, up until that time, there's a few chapters before that it's talking about all of David's hard times and all he's going through, and dear Lord knows he needed rescuing. But when you get here to 144, you just see David's personality all over it. In fact, you're probably just like me. I could have heard that psalm read and them never tell me who read it, never tell me what book it was in the Bible, and I would know it was David, because it has him in it. You know, people can walk into your house and they see you. People know, because there's a culture that you carry about you. There's words that you carry that other people don't. And David just had that. I mean, he was in a class all by himself. And he had a language of his own. And when you read the Psalms, you read words like, my, 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 when he's talking about God. It's my rock. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. He's my. He always used the word my, and he uses the word rock a lot. You'll see rock a lot. He uses the word blessed over and over and over. He says blessed, blessed. Oh, he loves that word. So there's so many words that you'll see. And he uses fortress. He is my fortress. He is my refuge. How many times do you see that? And you recognize that writing is his. And praise. Praise is all over. I will worship all over it. So let's look at Psalms 144. And I'm going to leave some of the verses out. But we are going to cover most of it. I'll tell you, we will cover most of it. All right, let me read verse 1, Kathy. Psalms 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord. You might just underline some of these words that you say that's him. First of all, it's blessed. Look, blessed be the Lord, my rock. Do you want this mic so I won't use two? All righty, thank you so much. Blessed be the Lord, who? My rock. There's his words. My rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress. It's funny the way he says loving kindness, and instead of he's kind and loving. It's the same thing, but he turns it. I mean, he's just got this language of his own. He could have said he's kind and he's loving, but no, he is my loving kindness, and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer. Oh, he's my shield and the one in whom I take, there's that word, refuge, who subdues my people under me. My people gladly submit. They're so precious to me. Lord, what is a man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. So he says, Lord, why would you even look at us anyway? And that's another part of his writings you'll see over and over in the Psalms. Lord, who is man? I mean, you've got the entire universe. You hold the water in your hands. You spanned out the heavens with this. You cleared out the heavens with the span of your hand. You created it. And you want to talk to us? You want to dwell in us? Who is man? We're nothing. Okay, so I want to go back to verse 1. Let's just start there. And the moment, see, you can go back. Don't read this today here, because I'm trying to tell you something. I want David to talk to us. This is good news today, all right? So go back and read a few of the chapters before, because you will see how he was pleading with God. I mean, the man really needed help. Yeah, he's running from these evil, evil people and strange children and all kinds of things. So when he gets to verse 1, it's a song of David. He literally burst into praise. I mean, it's like water coming out of a rock. It just gushed out of him. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. I mean, this was so funny, because it was like he was giving his best words to his best friend. Who can you say that to? Blessed is the Lord my rock. And then he says, Lord, I just want to thank you for teaching my fingers to war. Or you trained my hands for war and my fingers to fight. Now think on that. That's just plain old good common sense. David didn't say, Lord, I thank you that I'm such an awesome general. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, that I'm such a warrior and I'm so strong. I thank you that I killed the lion, the bear, the giant, and all of that. Look at me. I'm so powerful. I'm such a great leader. He didn't even mention it. He just said, Lord, I could have had an intellectual brain. I could have had all that, but it wouldn't win any war. What won my wars is the way you taught my fingers to war and my hands to fight. Just see, there's just sometimes we just need some physical things. We just need the Lord to give us some good old common sense, because intellect just won't make it, church. Amen? And so he said, Lord, I just want to thank you for that. It didn't take brain power for that. It took my hands and my fingers knowing what to do. In other words, God, you chose the smallest part of me, my little fingers, and my hands to make this work. Could have been because God's hands are so big and so great. And then you see him just go on and say, can I stop right there? My mother told me, not only my mother, but many others, when Rick and Jamie died in that accident with that drunk driver, they said, see, they had been, most of you probably know this, but those drunk men had been up at the Antlers. They'd been at the Antlers drinking on Highway 190. They'd been there all weekend being drunk. And they chose to drive down or back home up to the reservation on Monday morning about 9 o'clock. And so they're driving all up and down around that hill field where you guys live. And it's a very curvy road, and it's great hills like this up and down. And there's the little ditches on the side of the road that they should have went off in. And there were big boulders on the side. They should have hit those. There was no rhyme or reason why they should have gotten 10 minutes down that road from 190 to where they were. And so they were drunk, and it killed the drunk driver, and it killed both Rick and Jamie. And so many told me, they said, why don't you go up there and try to close down the Antlers? Why don't you just get a group of people together and fight the drunk driving? Why don't you just fight, you know, liquor and all these things? Just fight and come against it. And Mothers Against Drunk Drivers called me and wanted to know if I would join up with them and help them, come meet with them, maybe be a spokesperson for them. And when I talked to her, I felt such anger in this woman. She was so angry and she was so mad because her son had been killed from by a drunk driver when he was just a little boy. And so she was angry, and I heard that, and God had touched me in a way that was supernatural, and I never got angry. I never did. Some other people carried that for me and my family. In Isaiah 53, where he says, I carried your grief and sorrow, I didn't know how he did that, but I learned during that time that that's how God carried it, through my family and through others. They were angry about it, so they would tell me, well, why don't you go do this and that? And when I met with this mother, I said, you know, I think we're on a different rail here. I'm hurt. I'm disgusted. I'm frustrated. I don't know which way to turn or what to do. But I still think we're on a different course here. I'm going to see what the Lord will do. I'm a Christian. And I'll see what the Lord would say. And after I said that, I got off the phone and opened my Bible, and the Lord gave me this verse: I will teach your hands to fight and your fingers to war. I'll show you how to do it, so you just leave it. And after that, I didn't go with the Mothers of Drunk Drivers, against drunk drivers, but I had the door open to speak in many, many, many places, including New York City, including TBN and Daystar. I went on Daystar 5 or 6 times, and went to TBN once and was interviewed with, I think, Laverne Tripp and Jan were there. So it didn't matter. God just opened the doors. He said, you let me fight your battles. And I never had to do any of that, raise up a fight. And so I'm just saying, it doesn't matter, folks. God will fight your battle. It doesn't matter if you've got a war going on at home, or you have a war going on at work, or you've got a war with your child. Maybe there's a misunderstanding somewhere. Listen, if you'll give that to God, he said, I will teach. David is giving us this stuff by experience. And when I teach you, I also give you experience. Because I've been there. I can't teach anything I don't know or doesn't fit me. When you testify, you've got to be like little David when he was going to fight the giant. Saul wanted him to wear his armor. Well, he put it on and it didn't fit. Then you can't use somebody else's testimony. But you can use yours, because yours fits you. It's your personality. It's who you are. So you have your own, and there's a glory on your story that nothing else can match. So you just be you. And he'll teach you and instruct you how to keep your hands free. Amen. So he doesn't say anything about anything else except, God, I am so thankful for the way that you have helped me. Hallelujah. Now I want you to go up to verse, well, let's just get through here. I won't elaborate because it's pretty self-explanatory. Your loving kindness, you're my fortress, you're my high tower. In other words, you lift me high above the mess. You can put me up above it. You are my deliverer. You are my shield. You are the one in whom I take refuge. There's about 5 things right there that we could minister on right now. Okay, so let's go down to verse 7. Look at this. Now David is praising God. He's spending all his time worshiping him. And now he just throws in a prayer request. He goes, okay, God, I've got to tell you something right here. So it doesn't mean that David didn't have any problems going on, because he knew how to praise God. Look at this. 7. Oh, stretch out your hand from above. Look at this. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. He said, oh God, these great waters are overwhelming me. It just seems like there's too much stuff going on right now. It's just overwhelming me, all this stuff. I don't know what to do, Lord, rescue me. Why did he see that? Because he already had history with God, and he knew what God was able, he didn't know, he knew what God was able to do. No, he knew what God would do. No, able to it. He knew that God would deliver him and rescue him. So he says, Lord, rescue me from these overwhelming waters and these foreigners. Sometimes things just come into your life and it's like a foreign object, a foreign thing, and you have no idea what it's talking about. But see, foreigners lie, cheat, and steal when they come to you. They're thieves trying to take us under in our Christian walk and try to bring darkness to a situation, but you cannot allow any of that. And the only way you will not allow it is when you begin to know who God is and begin to say, Father, I thank you. You are my rock, my fortress. You'll lift me above it. You will secure me in a secure place, and you will rescue me. Amen. You will throw me the wreath of safety in Jesus' name. And then in verse 9, he says, Lord, I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. And God knew he would. I mean, God knew he would. God knows you. And so he says, God, he was up there talking about all the horrible lies and all the mess coming. And he's saying, oh, God, just send lightning down on these enemies. And Lord, just deliver me out of these deep waters. He could have been remembering Moses when God brought Moses and the children of Israel out. But he said, I'm going to sing you a new song. Now, let me tell you something. Almost all of the Psalms are songs. They're songs of David. They were songs of praise. But then he says, I can't remember. I've heard it said thousands of songs, maybe 7,000 songs David wrote. And if you've ever written songs and you've said prayers, sometimes you feel like you've ran out of words. Well, you do, until the Holy Spirit comes and David says, Lord, I will sing you a new one. I've got a new song for you. And I'll tell you, when you're going through, God will give you a new song, a new prayer, a new way through, because that's just how he is. He just does that. And David said, I just want you to know, God, that I'm going to sing a new song for you. You say, well, God didn't care if he sung a new song. No, God cares. God loves us, church. He loves our prayers. He loves our songs. You can just make up a song. It looks like when you're reading some of these, you try to put a tune with it. In fact, last night I was trying to put a tune with these words. I'm like, God, Chris, I don't even think you could put a tune with it. These words just don't match our music. Maybe it matched his. He said, in my 10-stringed instrument, must have been this one, because maybe in those days they had a 10-stringer, but I don't know of one. You're the one that gives salvation to kings and who delivers David and his servant from the deadly sword. You're the one who gives with an S. You're the one who delivers with an S. I know you delivered me then. And I know you delivered me the other day, and you delivered me when I was a child, and you delivered me. And then Satan will come and say, yeah, well, he brought you through that time, but maybe not this time. No, David said, Lord, you rescue me. You deliver me. You're the one that does this, and I'm going to give you a new song. Well, he goes ahead and praises God, but by the time you get to verse 11, he praises God anyway. So he lifts up the new song, but you get to verse 11, and he says, rescue me. There's his language again. David just talks a language that's his own. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners. In other words, I've praised you, Lord, but these foreigners are still after me. These enemies are still coming against me. Sickness and disease. Marital problems. America's problems. Inflation. It's all just coming. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of these foreigners whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. He said, everywhere I look, God, there's lies here. There's falsehood here. They never want you to prosper or get ahead. And so it's constantly a lie. But he said, God, you help kings. And you can say, God, you help women. God, you help men. God, you help whatever your job is. God, you help the children of God. I say, Lord, you help pastors. He gave him that request. And you see all through that again, you see my and you see blessed. My and blessed. And it's just woven throughout this whole Psalms, all the way almost through all of the Psalms. It's just like, Linda, you would thread a needle and you would take the thread all the way through. You can see his words. Okay, so here's the part I wanted to get to. Look at this. In verse 12. Okay, let's read 11 again. Kathy, give me 11 again. He says, God, here's this prayer request. Rescue me, deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, whose right hand is a false hand of falsehood, a right hand of falsehood. Verse 12, God, I want you to do this. Now listen, God hears David's prayers. Listen, God knows that David is a man after his heart. Now we can take that two ways. The Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Either he's chasing God's heart, he's chasing him. David is a man after God's own heart, or God loves David's heart. I believe it's both ways. I believe it's both. So he says, God, and then he's praying the heart of God here. He says, Lord, I want you to do these things for me that I've requested. Why? So that our, I'm glad he didn't say my sons. Now he changes the word my to our. That so that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be pillars sculptured in palace style. Did you hear that, church? Did you hear it? He said, oh God, I want you to answer me. We've got to have this answer down here in the kingdom you're giving me, in my life, among your people. Why? That our sons, verse 12, leave verse 12 up. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. David said, God, I want my boys. I want my boys and my brother's boys and my sister's boys. I want our sons and daughters in the church. I want them to be like well-rooted trees. Young trees that are strong and flourishing. Rooted, let them be rooted in you, Lord. Said, God, I'm not asking for deliverance just for me, but for my sons. I want to see my sons strong. I want to see them mentally strong and spiritually strong. I want them to be rooted. I think it was Isaiah I was telling the other day that the book of Titus talks to the young men and the young women and the old men and the old women and to servants. And when he starts talking to the young men, he says something to the young boys or young men that he says to no one else. He says to the young man, I will use you as a pattern. My mother used to make clothes for us. She made our dresses and she would cut that little cloth out of a pattern. And God didn't say that to the young women or the old men. He said, I'm going to use the young men. I will use you as a pattern. And that's why the devil, that's why the forces of evil does not want our young men to be established and rooted in God today. And he does everything he can to get them out there so he can make a nothing out of them when God says, no, I want to use them as an example to other young men. And then your sons grow up and you see them rooted and strong. And oh, it makes you so happy and so strengthened within. And God says, that was what I wanted you to have. I wanted your young men strong like a well-watered tree. Then he goes on to say, this gets beautiful, ladies, when he talks about the daughters. In verse 12, that our daughters may be as pillars. Look at these beautiful pillars that help to hold our ceiling up. Aren't they pretty? That our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. In palace style. That our daughters would grow up to be pillars sculptured like they belong in royalty, like they belong in a palace, a woman of great character. David said, oh God, that are my girls may grow up to be women of integrity, a woman of character, a woman with a pure heart. Pure hearts, may she be strong in the faith. And the psalmist said over in Psalms 45, oh, the daughters of God are all glorious within, beautiful within. That people see you and they say you're beautiful on the inside and the outside. Why? Because there's that character, that's daughter of God, and you're a stately woman. And you want those children of yours, you want those young women to grow up to be that stately woman of God that runs her house with royalty. I know the men are the priest of the home, but it's the mother that makes that home. It's a mother that causes those children to grow up and be strong and full of faith by the power of God's Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves. I'll move on. I could stay there, but nobody wants an imitation. Nobody likes a phony man or a phony woman. And you can spot them a mile away. And I've said, what if you try to impress somebody and they still don't like you? You got nothing left to do. May as well just be you. Because there is nobody else like you. Just you. And so he said, oh, that these women would be not imitations, but they would be made of pure gold. Well, that's good. We want to be pure gold, but we don't want to be tried in the fire. Amen? Come on. And then he goes on to say that your barns would be full. Barns would be full and supplying all kinds of produce, so that our barns are full of supply. And our households, you know that our households have need of abundant supplies. We need a lot of things in our household, in our living, in our life. We just have an abundance of things that we need, from a home to cars to things that fill the house. You know, all kinds of things that go there and needs with the children. But he said, oh, God wants you to have that abundant provision that your barn is full. That means your house. That means your life. That means your mind. See, all of these things are for us right now. Though the world and the liars out there are saying all kinds of other things, that we're going into a new world order in our lifetime. Well, I don't know that we'll see it, but we're sure going to see it getting there. We're seeing the Antichrist, his spirit's on the earth now. His spirit's been here a long time. We're just seeing it begin to manifest. It's getting greater and greater. But the Bible tells us that we will be lifted out before all that comes. And you eat and see that all of this supply that I'm giving you now, including Deuteronomy 28, belongs to us right now. Amen? All right, I'm going to close with this. Look at this. This is so powerful. Verse 13, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, and that's everything you need for your job. That our sheep may bring forth what? How many? Thousands. And ten thousands, not 10,000, ten thousands in our field. I'm telling you, that is an overabundance. That is more than enough. I mean, that's abundant supply. And he said, I don't want it for one of you, but for all of you. David said, God, that's why we, the church, must be rescued. And you must be our fortress, because our sons and daughters have to grow up to be another powerful generation. And we need to be blessed so we can take care of business for you, Lord. Is anyone in here? Y'all sleepy? No, we got to have thousands. He said, not just 1,000, but thousands of sheep. That means things that you have need of. Money, no less. I want you blessed so you can do my work. Hallelujah. I want your job, your income. I want it all full of supply. And then look at verse 14. You're probably going to say, I don't know. No, you better know. Look, verse 14, that our oxen may be well laden. What? our oxen, our job that will bring in full supply. What you put your hands to is more than enough. Those that work for you, those that work in your home, those that work under you. He said all of them must be supplied. Your oxen must be well laden. I want all of them blessed too. Because why? Because of you. And then look at this. That there be no breaking in and no going out. No breaking in, no going out. That there be no outcry in the streets. Listen, people. You heard. I told you I wasn't going to go here today. But I'll make this comment. You heard of those four college kids that were murdered. How sad is that in our streets? And then this morning, five were killed in Colorado Springs and 12 injured. It said they had 13 ambulances out there and 34 fire trucks. But this tells us, and then there's home invasions. There's thieves that just break in, go walk right into the grocery store and carry out bags of groceries or whatever they want. Because they won't be arrested until it's over $900, and they probably wouldn't do anything then. But I won't get started on all that. I only said that to read this part, that there will be no breaking in and no going out. Somebody better shout amen. No breaking in and no going out. God said, I will stay my hand. David said, listen, God, we've got to have you rescue us. We've got to have power over this mess. No breaking in, no going out. We are blessed people. No burglaries. Total home protection. And God, no outcry in the street. What in the world does that mean, silenced? He said, God will silence the streets. The violence, the murders, the attacking, all of those things. The shootings, the murders. Every morning I plead the bloodline around our schools. Around our church properties, around the stores all over town, the box stores, community. You say, I don't know if that breaking in, breaking out, or that outcry for our streets. I don't know, Pastor, if that's going to happen in our lifetime. Nobody asked you. David wasn't asking us. He was just saying, I'm telling you, God, we've got to have some of this thing and we will see it. Because you know what? If you read over into the Chronicles, you will see that it says David and his people lived in peace for the rest of his days. There was no attack against Israel. You'll see this very thing came to pass in David's days. And I'm telling you, they were nothing but heathens then. I mean, when David says, these foreigners have surrounded me and they're cheaters and liars, and they were more than that. And David said, but we'll see that again. We'll see it again. Reformation, yeah. Joel said in these last days, God will restore what the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locust has eaten from the church. That he has eaten from his people. He has eaten the giftings. He's caused lack to come in. He's called a vision blur where people can't see God. But all of that, God said there will be a reformation. And I close with verse 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. You'd be happy to have those sons and daughters bold and strong and growing up in great character and integrity and love and rooted. And plenty in your house. Your bank account full and you don't have to go put that refrigerator on a charge account. You can pay for it. You can pay for whatever goes out. You can take care of it. If your air conditioning goes out, well, you just go ahead and walk down and buy it. That's what he has. Happy are the people who have those blessings. And happy are the people whose God, hallelujah, is the Lord. Happy are the people who have those blessings. But we're most happy when our God is the Lord. Amen. Stand on your feet with me today. You have rescued us. Ooh, you have been our fortress. You have been our mainstay. You've lifted us up when we felt like we were down. You've hidden us from the enemy. And Lord, how you have prospered us. You've prospered us and blessed us. And Lord, I believe that this word I brought this morning, I believe it was prophetic to all of us. I believe it was prophetic, and I call no more lack to the people of God in this house. Not a lack in their love, not a lack in their marriage, not a lack in their money, not a lack anywhere. Father, I call the thousands to their sheep, and I call 10,000s to the field. What do they need in the field, Lord? Only you know. Only you know what we need in the field. And if you're here and you say, Pastor Paulette, I want to meet Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. I have never done that before. Listen, there's so much available to us. If you say, I need him to rescue me, he will, I promise you. He is here for you. Father, just as you rescued the ones calling for that, rescue their sons in the name of Jesus. You said our daughters would be pillars sculptured in palace style. Father, may they be raised up to be that woman of gold, pure gold, not run with the crowd. Lord, these sweet and precious people, I pray that none of them will be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Lord, like some of these that were killed this weekend, the 5 that died and the 12 that were injured were at a LGBTQ bar. The others were at a sorority house that had been out drinking that night. Lord, people don't always die because they do that. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, save our children. No, help our girls to grow up to know who they are. And they will not follow another. They'll be beautiful and precious and sweet and know who they are and confident in you. Like a stately pillar. In the name of Jesus. If somebody's daughter has strayed out, bring her back. Bring her back. Like Ezekiel, it says, you got him by the hair of the head and you brought him back. Bring her back wherever she is today, wherever he is, wherever those children are. Convict their hearts. We call them. And Lord, bring forth the 10,000s in our field and the thousands of sheep. Whatever that sheep might be for your sweet people, where there is lack, I call for thousands and 10,000s. Lord, I call for our homes to be paid off. The cars to be paid off. And church, listen, when he rescues you, don't forget to praise him. Praise him every day. When you come through something, you lift up your hands and give him praise. And you praise him. He said, I'm going to bless your oxen in the field that they'll be well laden. Your oxen will be strong. The people that work for you, God will put a blessing on them because of you. Hallelujah. And Father, I believe it sounds like it's impossible, and it is. But with you, all things are possible. That there be no breaking in, not to one home in this house. No home invasions. No going in, no coming out. May our homes have the godly protection of the blood of Jesus over them and the angels overguarding our houses. Hallelujah. There'll be no outcry in the streets of the violence and the murders and destruction and thieving and theft. We call, Lord, silence to our streets just like it was with you. Just like it was with your King David. And Lord, make us a happy people. Not just because of your blessings, but happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, stand on your feet and give him praise with me. Oh, yes. Thank it. Can we lift up a loud praise to the Lord? Come on, let's lift up praise. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So I bless you today. May you be blessed with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 and the blessings of Psalms 144. May you be blessed in your home, in your mind. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and turn His countenance towards you and give you peace that passes understanding. In Jesus' name. All that love Him, say amen. Don't forget to praise Him how often? Every day. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. So good to have you all here today. Amen. I love you too, honey. Bless you. Always good to see you, sweetie.